Luke chapter 10 and verse 23 and 24. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Amen. Thus far we read the word of God. And our theme is seeing at a time when there is much to see. Seeing at a time when there is much to see. The gift of sight is an immense blessing. But to have sight when there is much to see is all the more so. And men have indeed seen wonderful things. The stars, the surface of the moon, great historical events, the wars, the fall of the Berlin Wall, the view from the peak of Everest, and so forth. These things have been seen by men, and many other wonderful things. It all depends where you are and when. The same, in a sense, is true of spiritual sight. The Lord has already distinguished between those who have spiritual sight and those who do not. The one given it by God in his sovereign electing love, and the other not so given. And the difference is staggering, and many of us will know that by experience. We speak to one person who is a believer, a regenerate soul, and they immediately are on the same wavelength and speak with joy, with enthusiasm of the truth of God. You speak to another person, pleasant, amiable in so many ways, and yet the response is a blank at best. The one has been given eyes to see, whereas the other has not. The election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded, as the scripture tells us. But now the Lord Jesus privately to his disciples makes another contrast. Whether Christ uttered these words immediately after the previous ones is not made clear. The context, though not the exact words, is of a similar kind to the almost identical words in Matthew 13, 16 and 17. In that passage in Matthew 13, the context is of a similar kind, though not identical with what we have here. Matthew 13 and reading from verse 14, And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. So whether this is the setting, and Luke is giving us something after a pause here in these two verses, is not clear. But what is clear is that in both cases, the contrast between seeing and not seeing is then followed by the fact that the disciples see at a time when there's much more to see than was true of the godly in the Old Testament. So he moves from the contrast between God's electing love in giving spiritual sight and understanding to some and not to others, to the fact that even within the outworking of his purpose of election, some of his people live in a time when there is some light, and others at a time when there is much more light, much more of the truth of God is given. So he utters these words to the disciples, possibly the 70 as well as the 12, as applicable specifically to them. It was not true of all the people. Some heard and saw outwardly, but were not made blessed. They were made worse by their hardening against the truth. But we must notice also that the Lord here gives these words of assurance of great blessedness to rather poor disciples. He tells them, "Blessed are your eyes, which see, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see." He tells them that. He tells these rather poor disciples. You see, the Lord does encourage sinful disciples, not in their sins, but away from them. He does not reserve encouragement for perfectly sanctified disciples, else there would be no encouragement for any of us. He does not, it's true, give assuring comfort to the high-handed and rebellious, but he does give words of comfort to those who by grace are striving to follow Christ, but often fall short. It is a great mistake to withhold the comforts of Christ from very obviously imperfect Christians. How shall they grow unless they are encouraged in Him? Admonition and rebuke are good and right and essential, but on their own are unlikely to prove the means of great progress in sanctification. The heart must be cheered with the comforts of Christ in order to gather courage in the battle against sin. But let us notice, firstly, what kings and prophets desired to see. What kings and prophets desired to see. Verse 23. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." What did they desire to see? Well, let's first of all think about what they did see. What did these kings and prophets see? The Lord Jesus is not talking about all kings. In Matthew 13:17 that we read earlier, referred to earlier, it refers to prophets and righteous men. It is godly kings that he has in mind, like David, like Uzziah, Hezekiah, Josiah. He's not talking about Ahab or Omri, these wicked and rebellious kings. He's talking about the godly kings in the Old Testament and the faithful prophets of the Lord, like Noah, Moses, Samuel, Nathan, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. What did they see? The reference here is to what they desired to see, but what did they see? Well, like Abraham, they saw Christ's day and were glad. John 8:56, the Lord Jesus tells the Jews that while they were trying to kill him, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. They esteemed the reproach of Christ. Hebrews 11:26. Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ more than all the treasures of Egypt. They saw Christ in the promises. They saw Christ set forth in the types, the ordinances of ceremonial worship appointed by God. They saw Christ there. The promised Christ, that promise given to Adam, that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent, that promise elaborated upon and expanded throughout the Old Testament. They saw Christ there. By faith they trusted in the coming Saviour, and they saw him set forth. How much, how clearly, who of us can tell? But they saw him set forth in the Old Testament ordinances of ceremonial worship. But then what did they long for? They desired to see something. They desired to see with their spiritual sight a clearer view of Christ. That's what they desired. They strained to see more of Christ. So 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11 and 12. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. They ministered to us, not exclusively. They understood the promises themselves, but we, living in the light of the fulfillment, have the great benefit of their prophecies in the light of that fulfillment. But they searched what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. When it testified of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. They wanted to know more. They wanted to have a clearer picture of Christ. Today, someone important, people want to see them. Sadly, people are considered important for the most ghastly of reasons sometimes in this evil celebrity culture in which we are admired as a society. But someone, some VIP or so-called celebrity, when they go from place to place, people jostle and they strain to get a sight of this important person. But these holy men, they strained to get a clearer view of Christ. A better view of none other than the Lord of glory himself, the King in his beauty. They desired this one thing of the Lord, to behold his beauty. If only it were so today, that this was the desire of the multitudes, rather than some flash-in-the-pan celebrity who in truth has contributed nothing. But what did they not see? What did they not see? They did not see the promise fulfilled in Christ's coming into this world. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 13. Hebrews 11 and verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And then in verse 39, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect or complete. When it says they didn't receive the promises, it doesn't mean that they didn't receive the promised blessings of salvation in Christ, for they did. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob sit in the kingdom of heaven. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. But what it means is this, that they did not live to see the promise of the Savior coming into this world fulfilled. They didn't see that. They did not see Emmanuel, God with us, actually come into this world. Simeon waited as one of those who looked for redemption in Israel and waited for the consolation of Israel, and said, now, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. But many did not live to that time, and certainly not beyond it, to see Christ fulfilling the word of God in his obedience, in his sufferings and death and burial and resurrection and exaltation to the right hand of God. The fulfilling of these things they did not see, but they did desire to see. Those things that angels, holy angels, desire to look into, holy men of old desired to understand them and long to see their fulfillment. Why did they desire in this way? Well, because they were born again of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ was in them, as 1 Peter 1 said, which we referred to earlier. When the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again, he wasn't telling him something that was new. Art thou a master in Israel, and knowest not these things? He should have known them. He should have known them from the Old Testament scriptures, the necessity of the new birth, the necessity of being circumcised of heart by the Spirit of God, the necessity of the stony heart being taken out and a new heart put within and sprinkled with clean water. He should have known these things. And these men were born of the Spirit. And so they desired to know more of Christ. And they longed to see the coming of the Savior. They had tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And so they pored over the revelation that they had to find more of Christ and long for the fulfilling of the promise. Those who are born of the Spirit do want more of Christ, don't they? Those who are born of the Spirit, they've tasted, they've seen that the Lord is gracious, and they desire the sincere milk of the Word, that they might grow thereby, that they might grow in Christ, that they might know Christ, know Him and the power of His resurrection. So that's what the Old Testament believers desired. But the second thing is what the disciples did see. What the disciples did see. Going back to our text. Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. In Matthew's parallel verses, he says their ears are blessed as well as their eyes. He means that their spiritual perception in seeing and hearing, which in their case employed their literal eyes and ears to see the works of Christ and to hear His words, were blessed. That they would see and they would hear to their good. Others heard and saw, but were made worse, but to their good. Those very things which the prophets and kings had so desired to see. So their literal eyes and ears were blessed, but only as instruments by which the glory of Christ entered their renewed understanding. Others physically saw and physically heard, but were nothing better, but rather made the worse. But they saw Christ, they heard Christ, and they were enabled, and much more so later, to understand and to embrace that which they saw and heard. And they confessed, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Some of these men were fishermen. Kings had desired to see what these fishermen saw. Kings had desired, like David, that man after God's own heart, to see the things fulfilled before the eyes and in the ears of these men. They saw, they heard, and understood. Their physical faculties were accompanied with spiritual grace. They saw what Moses, David, Samuel, Daniel did not see. Their understanding was long in catching up with their eyewitness experience. They were eyewitnesses of His Majesty. But the significance of that was sometime later in coming by the Spirit of God. And some of them became unerring witnesses of Christ and his glory, and wrote under the direction of the Spirit gospels and epistles to set forth Christ in his manifest glory. These men saw what even the godly of the Old Testament did not see: the fulfillment of the promise that Christ would come. No wonder then that Christ tells them, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see." That they had spiritual understanding at all was due to sovereign electing grace, and they were given to see things that even the elect of God in former generations never witnessed. Thirdly, what we have been given. What we have been given. What has the Lord given to us as the means of beholding the truth as it is in Jesus, the glory of the Redeemer? What has he given to us? In the Old Testament, he gave promises and he gave typical ordinances. To these disciples, Christ was manifest among them, and they beheld his glory. What has he given to us? He has given to us a whole Bible. That's what he's given to us. The whole written word of God. Nothing less. He has given us the scriptures, these spectacles through which we behold the glory of God manifest in the flesh. All these books, and all setting forth Christ. And we can even look at the Old Testament books in the light of the new and the fulfillment of the promises. We can sing the Psalms in the light of the New Testament. Have you not noticed how some of the Psalms are obviously designed specially for this? Take Psalm 22. The Lord caused David by the Spirit, in the midst of his own sufferings, by the Spirit of prophecy, to speak far beyond his sufferings, to the sufferings of the Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he writes about those sufferings, because his sufferings, David's, were the occasion of the Spirit of prophecy working in David. He writes in the past tense of the sufferings of Christ, all those generations before Christ came. And now we can take up that psalm and sing it, of Christ's sufferings as having been accomplished in the past. Because God, in giving his word in the Old Testament, was giving a book of praise suitable for the church in all generations to come. But God has given us a whole Bible. The children here this morning, I wonder, do you understand What a wonderful thing it is to live in a time and a place where the whole Bible is freely available to us, to have the whole Word of God, all the books of the Bible, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they didn't have all these. Nor did Samuel, or David, or Solomon, or Daniel. They didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They didn't have Romans or Philippians. But we do. And that surely is a wonderful thing. The God who made fishermen eyewitnesses of his glory. The God who brought women to the tomb to see its emptiness has given to us, even to us, the whole Bible to know the way of the Lord more perfectly. To think that we have parts of God's Word, that those heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11 didn't have. And that we can even understand the old in the light of the complete thing. If you have been given spiritual eyes to understand these things, then you are blessed indeed. To be given the whole Word of God and have the eyes of our understanding opened so that we begin to receive its truth into our hearts, to depend upon the Saviour set forth, that surely is blessedness. Let us then not cease to bless and magnify the Lord. Surely that's what Christ was telling these disciples. Surely he was telling them, you are blessed, that they should understand the greatness, the immensity of the blessings bestowed upon them compared with those left in darkness and even compared with those who lived, the godly who lived in former times. And if Christ was saying that to them, surely he says the same thing to us. If we are his children, if we're children of the light, is he not telling us how much he has bestowed upon us as our Redeemer, as our Saviour? That when he died and rose again, he sent apostles and caused the whole of his word to be completed, and caused it to come to us, upon whom the ends of the world are come, so that the whole book is written for our good. In 1 Corinthians 10, we were told that these things are written for an example to us, upon whom the ends of the world are come. They're written for our good. That's what we read in 1 Peter 1 as well. They ministered to us. But so also did the apostles and the inspired writers of the New Testament. Christ was giving us an abundance of truth. We are blessed indeed. Let us then live out our days as the happy possessors of the whole Word of God and live in the comfort of the Scriptures until faith in the Word gives place to sight in the glory to be revealed. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious and eternal God, we bless thy holy name that thou hast given to us so much truth, so much of that word of the Lord which endureth forever. Enable us to see the blessedness that thou hast given to us, that we might know those things which concern our peace, that we might live in the comfort of the Scriptures and in the joy of the Holy Ghost. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.